Commander C. Cooper, welcome to the podcast. A friendly reception turns deadly in Afghanistan, and a U.S. general is killed in the gunfire. The fallout from America's highest-ranking casualty since the Vietnam War. Let's get started. Major General Harold Green shot dead by an Afghan soldier who badly wounded many more. Jim Shudo has been working his sources, joins us now from Washington. So what are we now learning about how this all happened, Jim?
Anderson, this took place in part of a routine visit to Afghanistan's National Defense University. This is where Afghanistan and coalition forces, including U.S. forces, train Afghan military leaders and officers, arguably the Afghan West Point. Several senior officers involved, including General Green, as well as a German general who was injured as well in this attack, as well as eight other Americans, a total of 15 injured. And I'm told that the Afghan soldier who turned his weapon on these American and coalition officers had been with his unit for some time. In fact, he'd been vetted. He'd gone through a very serious vetting process that they have for Afghan soldiers to prevent attacks just like this one, so-called green-on-blue attacks. And seeing how he got through that vetting process and still carried out this attack is going to be one of the major focuses of the investigation of this, which is now underway.
And an officer, no less. I mean, the Taliban has acknowledged the killing, but they have not claimed credit for it, right?
They have not, no. Doesn't mean that won't change, but at this point, they haven't claimed credit. So an open question now is, what caused this Afghan soldier to turn? Was it a personal grievance? Was it his own affinity for the Taliban? We don't know yet, and that's another subject of the military investigation.
What do we know about the general who lost his life in the attack?
So General Green, a 34-year veteran of the military, he was the deputy commander of what's called the Combined Security Transition Command. This is a command whose job it was to help transition from coalition security control in Afghanistan to Afghan security control as coalition forces, including Americans, withdraw. So, you know, this presents a real problem going forward because it presents an open question. What does this say about the readiness of Afghan forces to take on this task? Now, to be fair, attacks like this have decreased remarkably since 2012, but General Green gave his life, part of a military family. His wife was a retired military colonel as well, and notification just going out to the family today. So a sad moment for that family, no question. But, of course, you have eight other Americans injured, I'm told, some of them seriously.
Yeah, for a lot of families tonight. Jim Shudo, appreciate the update. There are some 30,000 American troops still in Afghanistan, and it's far from the first time they've faced these kind of sneak attacks, as Jim mentioned. At their peak in 2012, according to the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, they accounted for 15% of all coalition fatalities. It's an ugly fact in many wars and a prominent part, particularly of the war in Afghanistan. We'll dig deeper now with CIA and FBI counterterrorism veteran Philip Mudd, also military analyst, retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Rick Francona. Colonel Francona, I mean, this is clearly a vetting problem here. And, I mean, A, this was an officer in the Afghan military, so that raises all sorts of problems. But talk about the vetting process. I mean, it's supposedly extensive, but is it really?
Well, it has changed since 2012 because we had that rash of killings. In 2012, we approached the Afghans and said, "You've got to improve your vetting so that we have less of these incidents." So they instituted a process. They actually brought in some computers, and they're matching their databases with ours now. But it's not quite there yet, as we've seen. And Jim is right; the incidents are down. But the vetting process is totally an Afghan issue right now, and then we're given the result. And there's not much we can do about this. As we withdraw
down
our forces,
so the Afghans who control the vetting.
They do. And so we have to take their word for it. Once these people are vetted, we can get the result and run it through our computers. But they're the ones that actually do all the investigation.